Our first speaker this morning will be Brother Owen Kirkpatrick, who now resides part of the time in Nashville, Tennessee. And his wife said she didn't know where he was at the rest of the time. Anyway, Brother Owen's going to be our first speaker this morning, and he started and pastored the church in Baton Rouge, Grace Church in Baton Rouge. He was there for many years. I don't know how many years, but he was. And then Brother Mark Brunfellow became the pastor down there, and Obed moved on and came to Nashville and has Bible studies up there. Where'd he go? Anyway. Oh, there he is. Come on, Obed, and preach for us.
Invite Mrs. Barry Hampton to say amen.
Amen.
Wow. It doesn't seem right that he's not here, does it? Okay, I want you to look around you, and I want you, pick four people. Just anybody. Don't say it out loud. Just pick. So look around. Find four people. All right? Got it? That makes a group of five, right? All right? Now then, I want every one of you to start talking to someone else and try to overtalk them. All right, ready? Go. Come on, let's go.
Stop!
Now you got it out of your system, I don't hear you talk. Anybody that starts talking after this, you're going to be part of this one group out of this five that I'm going to talk to you about. First of all, in this group of five, one of you is doing what God wants you to do. One of you is not doing anything at all. Three of you are kind of fiddling around halfway in the middle, and you're in and you're out. There is a group of five, there's going to be one faithful, there's going to be one very unfaithful, there's going to be three that's going to be wishy-washy. So, which one are you? Right? I'm going to talk to you today about something that does not get talked about, and it's not usually accepted very well, especially by the three and the one on the bottom side. I'm going to talk to you about giving. Okay? Let's assume that God has given the five of your group a job to do. Okay? You have a job. And in that job, if you do not get it done as a group, it will suffer. The job will suffer. How many of you have been, I don't want you to talk anymore, remember, so I'm just a second. How many of you have been in a group of people that only one or two of you really carried the workload? Okay? How many of you are in a union? You are?
Amen.
Okay. How many of you are not in the union? Okay. Well, those of you not in union don't understand what union people go through, so we won't go there. But now I'm going to tell you that there's one person in that main group that is faithful to give. Okay. There's one person in your group that does not give anything at all. There are three people in your group that give whenever the thought moves. Oh, maybe I'll give them a buck or two or something like this. Okay? So, 80% of you are not doing what God would have you to do. I want to talk to you about why this conference is so important. I don't know how many preachers are here, Jack. How many? 10, 15? Raise your hand. Preachers, all right? Okay. Why do you come to this conference? Ask yourself, not out loud, and I don't want anybody saying amen at all through this thing. I want total quiet. I want you to listen to what I have to say. I mean, why do you come to this conference in the first place? I have come so I can hear my fellow preachers preach. I would hope that you come so that you can be fed. Okay? And how many of you give faithfully to that preacher that's here, because most of them are, you are out there being fed by them. Okay? Did you come here for a free vacation? Did you come here because the food is free? It is. I've overheard some people say, well, man, you ought to come over there. I mean, the food's free. You don't have to pay for the hotel room. I mean, how good is that? Is that why you come? I say, most of you are not going to like what I have to say. So, I do not know any of you that have been taught by a teacher who ever expected to receive any money from you. Okay? They are doing that because it's their calling to do so. And I know that there are many here that travel many miles and talk to 8, 10, 12 people that they teach to, and no one ever gives them a penny, even for the gasoline. Now that's a crying shame. You are at fault. You should be more faithful to give. So the preachers that I know welcome the opportunity to share God's word anytime that they can. I know, and my wife can tell you this, that the greatest joy in my life is not leading music, as some of you might think, but it is teaching. And I will teach whenever I'm asked. And never expect anything. I want you to get two passages of scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and 1 Timothy chapter 5. You see, last year I made a statement. I don't care what you think about this. I'm 73 years old, had a heart bypass, and I'm going to say whatever I want to, and I don't care what you think about it. And then what you told me, Gary, that I said? Well, ditto. Read Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. Is that right? What's it say? Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Oh, that's over in the Old Testament. That's just a bunch of bull. I'm not interested in that. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What a shame that grace believers don't realize how much value there is in the Old Testament. A lot of grace believers don't. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. For the scripture saith, what scripture saith? Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Got any farmers in here? Can see hands? No wonder we're having high prices. How many of you were raised on a farm? How many of you had gardens? How many of you had cows? How many of you had cows that gave milk and you didn't feed them? I don't know one cow that gave very much milk that wasn't fed. The Bible says you don't muzzle, you don't put a muzzle on the cow so they can't eat. Brother, you don't put a muzzle on the preacher, they can't teach effectively because he's having to worry about going out and getting 3 or 4 or 5 jobs in order to support his family. How can you do that? How can we do that? going to focus on you and me and muzzling that ox. And here's some of the ways you can do that. By not giving him enough to feed his family so that he has to work in the private sector. Number two, by giving so little that he can't afford to take time off so his family can spend a little time together. By making it necessary for him to have to teach 5, 6, 7 times a week, traveling to multiple cities, hoping he can make enough for that next group. You see, it is quiet. I've heard so many reasons why people say they cannot give, and most of them are cop-outs. Perhaps you have used some of these sometimes, and I'm going to read them because sometimes when I do extemporaneous, I say some things that I shouldn't, as reading a joke at Texas Conference. Anyway. I barely have enough to pay my bills and to feed my family. Ever use that one? If you have, how many of you buy a Coke or a cup of coffee every day? Huh? On the low side, it'd be about $10 if you're one of those that likes that high-powered Starbucks coffee. Man, that's about $7 a day. I don't know very many preachers on here that wouldn't love to have $7 a day from one of you that teaches. Here's the other one. I just can't imagine, you know, that I can manage to find enough money when I go to class. It just seems that when I get there, I don't have anything. Well, you know what? I had a roommate like that in college. Never had any money when we went out to eat. And finally, there were four of us. Finally, we got to the point where we said, get your bill phone before we leave. There are certain people who are just going to not want to pay for anything. That includes your preacher. Okay? The person who feeds you the truth would love to have that little bit. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there was one person that I admired the most for his giving habits. I always knew that I was going to have a $5 check every week from this individual. It was a lot to me. Why? Because he did it faithfully. Faithfully he gave. Some of you are generous givers. You're the one on the good side over there. And some of you are the one on the bad side. Never given a penny, or maybe just a penny, to any preacher. You're who I'm talking to, but the three others are the ones that I want to talk to specifically. Those three of you who give a little every now and then, because you kind of get convicted that maybe you shouldn't. Well, if you want to get convicted, just come see me. I got an old baseball bat that I'd love to plant right upside your noggin to knock a little sense into you. You say you love the grace message. You say that you didn't realize how important this was. And most of you who came from denominational backgrounds gave 10% of your income until you learned the grace message. I'm just talking to Brian about that. He didn't know I was already going to preach that. Hey, why? You're under grace. And did you know that grace, truly taken to heart, gives more abundantly
if they truly understand the word. Do you?
I warned you, most of you weren't going to like this. So what other scriptures can I give you? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But you see, I'm not pastoring Baton Rouge Church. So I can tell these Baton Rouge people that are here that now that I'm out, I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you that were very bad at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Who are they gathering for? They're gathering for the Jews at Jerusalem. That was over and above what they were expected to give to the ministry. But Paul says, I'm going to come by and you better have something. You know, that's what we ought to do, preachers. We need to get out there and say, look, I'm going to pass this collection plate. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I sang in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in Alexandria, Louisiana, at Second Bethlehem Baptist Church. Would you? I want to tell you that we sang. And when they also did the collection, they would pass the basket down the road. It always had 20 quarters in it. If someone didn't give, they'd shake the basket. Everybody would know that that person wasn't giving. Now, wouldn't that be great? You think I'm kidding? They did. They took up the collection and went back to the back and counted out. And the preacher was waiting, and the guy said, "We're going to pass it again." That is the truth. I'm telling you that. It is the truth. I think that we, as Grace Churches, need to start passing a basket with 20 quarters in it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. If every one of you would start doing that $5 a week that this one guy did in Baton Rouge, your preacher wouldn't have to do the extra work they asked to do. Just that little bit. What did Jesus say about the woman that brought the one penny of the mite? What was it? She was blessed above all. Why? She gave all that she had. She gave all that she had knowing that she was doing what she was charged to do. And God bless her. She's going to do that, folks. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17.
Verse 9. Oh, you know this one. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who do you know? Four of you got deceitful hearts. Four of you in that group of five got deceitful hearts. And it's desperately wicked. Four of you out of that group of five don't really care about grace. 300 people here, only 60 of you are really good givers. The rest of you are not. How does that make you feel? A heart that's filled with the Holy Spirit, folks, gives according to as he prospers. How can you be saved and not be filled with the Spirit? I would be willing to bet. We know that there's some in here that probably are lost. But let's just say that 70% are saved. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are, if you trust Christ your Savior, and fail to give as you should? How can you be filled with the Spirit and don't love your neighbor as yourself? How can you be filled and be angry with your spouse? How can you be filled and treat your children in an ungodly manner? How can you be filled and treat your parents with disrespect? How can you be filled and don't give to the ox that feeds you? I'll tell you that a heart bent on serving God will give generously. Not because he is pressured to do so, but because he understands that God expects it of him if he wants to receive the blessings from God. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not your own, that you do not your own before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Folks, Israel giving was part of the worship service, and it was a part of a reward they could expect down the road. If that's the case with grace, what kind of reward are you going to get? Don't let you drop your jaw drop over there. What kind of reward are you going to get, folks? We preach salvation and we should. We preach right division and we should. We preach the advantages we have under grace, that there are no works involved, that God has done everything that was necessary, and we should. But sad to say, most of us grace preachers do not preach about the obligation of giving, and we should. You need to be taught what God expects of you. The gifts that God bestowed upon Israel cannot be compared with the gifts that are ours in this age of grace. Go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 32. He
that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God's gift to us is the Lord Jesus Christ, the very best that he had to offer. Should we give any less? This song, all of you know I love music. I love preaching more. But it says, give of your best to a master. Give of the strength of your youth. Why did they say that? Because you see, the older I get, the more I realize I can't do what I did when I was 25. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh, glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give him your best to the master. Give him first place in your heart. Not your spouse, not your children, not your neighbors. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. And part of that service is ministering to the needs of your preacher. Consecrate every part. Give and you will be given. And to you will be given. God, his beloved son, gave gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Listen to the last, the third verse. Give of your best the master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom. Gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur. You from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. Finally, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me say this before we read. The question here today is, okay, to whom do I give? And I'm going to tell you, the Bible says you give to the servant of God. You don't give to a judge. Or you shouldn't. You give to the servant of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Folks, you only give yourself. You know how to give to the servant. Four of you in that group of five are more interested in giving to yourselves than you are to the preacher. That's a shame. It's a crying shame. Look at that scripture I gave you, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. No muzzle the ox to feed you. Go to 1 Timothy 5, 17. I'm old. I'm okay on time. Jack.
1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine.
Wow! That didn't say that, did it? Let's read that again. Let me see if I made a mistake here. Let the elders that rule well, that's preachers, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine.
Folks, you're getting fed by a group of dedicated preachers. You need to support them. Every teacher here is going to teach, regardless of whether you give a penny or not. Because that's what they're called to do. If they would do anything less, they would be unfaithful to their calling. If you are saved, God has called you to, and part of that calling is to give to the teacher who teaches you.
Amen.